My guest at this time is Mississippi Republican Senator Roger Wicker. He joins me now as now it's the Senate's turn to possibly take up the idea of the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act, which was passed Tuesday evening in the House of Representatives. And a major part of that, of course, is pushing a constitutional amendment to demand a balanced budget. And, Senator, it's good to have you with us.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you for doing this.
The House, of course, passed it, as I mentioned, Tuesday evening. Pretty healthy margin, largely along party lines, 234 to 190. Now, of course, the issue might come up in the U.S. Senate, which is controlled by the Democrats. What are you and your colleagues doing to try and make sure that Harry Reid does, in fact, bring it to a vote?
Well, the Democratic leader needs to give us a vote on that. It may be that the only way to send a signal on that will be to vote for cloture on a motion to proceed, but that will clearly be a vote for or against the cut, cap, and balance concept. So that'll occur either Friday or Saturday. The people that vote yes will be sending a signal that, yes, if we were in charge, if we had enough votes, if the voters would send enough like-minded people to Washington, we could actually pass this cut, cap, and balance that would cut expenditures, cap them as a percentage of the gross domestic product, and send a balanced budget amendment to the states for ratification.
Senator, you mentioned it might come up in a cloture vote, which, of course, would require 60 votes to move it to a final vote. Does that suggest that you're not expecting to get this through the Senate?
In the next two or three days, we would have to have a huge outpouring of support from around the country to persuade reluctant Democrats that this is the approach that we ought to take. Now, I expect we'll get a few that maybe are up for re-election next year, but to actually get the 60 votes we need, we're not there yet, according to my estimation. And we're clearly not there on the 67 votes that it would take to actually send a constitutional amendment out to the states for them to consider. It's a great concept, and the Senate has come close in the past. In 1997, by only one vote, the Senate failed to send the constitutional amendment to the states. Just think of how much better shape we would be in if we had gotten that one extra vote and had a national debate in all 50 states about whether the federal government should be required to do, as most states do, and balance the budget.
Senator, I was talking and have talked with a number of your colleagues on the House side and a couple on the Senate side as well, and one of them yesterday told me to propose spending cuts and even long-term spending caps, which has been certainly recommended. Without the balanced budget amendment, those are only as good as the intentions of the current Congress. So if, in fact, the balanced budget amendment is not even going to get through in the larger legislation, much less the actual vote on the amendment, how do you enforce any type of spending cuts that are, in fact, agreed to in any form?
There's a reason we have elections every 2 years. I mean, the voters have an opportunity to insist that we enforce those. But to an extent, this criticism is correct. Government spending needs to be in a straitjacket. And the best way to do that is by amending the Constitution to absolutely require it. That would then take another amendment to the Constitution to reverse, and that's very unlikely to happen. It's only happened one time in the history of our republic that a constitutional amendment has actually later on been repealed. So it would be the best way. But absent that, absent the two-thirds requirement that our founding fathers, I think, wisely put in the Constitution, we have to do the best we can on an annual basis to put laws in place and procedural roadblocks in place to cap spending and make us stick to a sound agenda.
We're talking with Mississippi Republican Senator Roger Wicker. And, Senator, you're also on the record in pretty high-praising language of this Gang of Six proposal that was released, at least in its initial form, the bullet point form on Tuesday. It focuses on cutting the nation's debt by $3.7 trillion over the next 10 years. It also adjusts marginal rates. I believe a lot of the revenue that would come in would come through closing loopholes and current deductions and so forth. From what you know about the deal right now, what makes you very optimistic about it?
What makes me optimistic about it is the fact that three Democratic senators and three very conservative Republican senators have met in a room and hammered this out over some 5 or 6 months, and my hat is off to them. What makes me like the proposal is honest to goodness, spending cuts, some of which would be enacted almost immediately, and some of which would require the various committees to work on it. But 3.7, I think, is a conservative figure for 10-year budget cuts. In reality, depending on how you look at it, it's probably more like $4.7 trillion in deficit savings, and also it cuts tax rates. I think a Republican concept has always been to simplify the tax code by eliminating loopholes and tax preferences and cutting corporate rates and individual tax rates. To me, that's a job creator. And it's not everything I would ever want if I were doing it in a vacuum. But to get the president to say that he would probably sign such a thing, and to get Democrats as left-wing as Dick Durbin say that they could go along with this, I think is a stunning achievement for our three Republican negotiators. And it would help us to avert a real crisis that I think is looming on August the 2nd.
What would be the impact on marginal rates, and how do you respond to those who say that even in dealing with the deductions and the loopholes, what's ultimately happening here is a series of tax increases, possibly the tune of $1 trillion or more?
No, I would say that is just not true. And our negotiators would not have agreed to raising taxes. But what it does do, while cutting the tax preferences and lowering tax rates, lowering all the tax rates for individuals and corporations, is it would generate enough economic activity that revenues would rise. Now, I'm perfectly happy to create more jobs and create more taxpayers and raise revenues that way, and we ought to all be in favor of that.
Senator, just a couple minutes left here, and circling back to where we started, you mentioned this week that it's unlikely that the cut, cap, and balance will pass the Senate. So by bringing it forward, hopefully getting a vote, whether it's cloture or an actual up or down vote, what do you hope is the message sent by pushing this, even though the likelihood of passage is pretty slim?
Well, you know, there's a reason we have open debate on the floor, and that's to have a competition of ideas. Our idea is that it's best for our country to cut spending, to cap it, and eventually balance the budget, and we need to do that immediately. That is our goal. And so I think by the end of the week, voters will understand that that is the preference of the Republican Party, and it's something I think we can run on and ask for additional assistance out from the hinterlands over the next election, and maybe we'll have enough elected officials who agree with that to actually enact it after the voters get a chance to comment on it in November of 2012.
Senator, we'll have to leave it there, sir. Very good of you to be with us today. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Mississippi Republican Senator Roger Wicker. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.